From Genesis through Revelation, message number 5 brings us to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 7, actually verse 8. Genesis 3, verse 8, Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading in verse 7, talking about Adam and Eve after they disobeyed the Lord and committed the first sin that man ever sinned. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And so they felt shame, and they tried to cover themselves. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And of course, even if God wasn't God, he would have known that there was something wrong. And that's because instead of being right there to meet with God, as usual, Adam and Eve were hiding in the bushes. Verse 9. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Adam was so afraid and so full of guilt that he would have run from God all his life, died, and gone to hell. God pursued Adam because he knew Adam would never pursue him. And you know what? This is what Scripture teaches. If you are saved, if you are a Christian, it is only because the Holy Spirit pursued you and wouldn't quit bothering you until you cried out to Christ for salvation. If God doesn't go after Adam, he's in the same boat as Satan, lost with no hope. Verse 10. And he that is Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." I was afraid. I was afraid. Notice, those are the first words that came out of man's mouth after he sinned. I was afraid. You know, when you walk with God, you will have faith, not fear. When you walk with God, you will know that he is in control and that nothing will happen that won't be good for you in the long run. But when a person sins, their fellowship with God is cut off and fear moves in. Fear keeps many people awake at night because they've committed sin. See, that's what happened with Adam and Eve. Very, very unpleasant feelings they are having. Guilt, shame, fear, all as a result of sin. Verse 11, he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat?" Well, God knew what he did. God knew what Adam did. God knew what Eve did. He's just trying to get them to confess. He's trying to get them to admit it. Well, look at this, verse 12. And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat." Well, that's not confession, Adam. "I did it, but" is not a confession. He said, "I did it, but it's the woman's fault, God. And you know, it's kind of your fault also, God. That's because you gave her to me. You gave her to me, yeah. So if Eve jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? Just because I gave her to you, does that mean you have to do everything she does?" See, what a bunch of baloney this is, huh? What a bunch of blame shifting. And it continues, verse 13. Adam wasn't the only one. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the devil. But they can't really blame anyone except themselves. They can try to blame someone or something else, but they're still going to die. They will suffer, and sweat and fear and die, because we are all responsible for our own sin. Blame shift all you want. God's not buying it. It's not true. It's not going to work. Verse 14, and the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Notice God did not ask the serpent why he did what he did. The serpent itself was an animal, incapable of sin. And he didn't ask the devil who used the serpent any questions, because the devil is unteachable and irredeemable. And so the last part of verse 14, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. God causes the once upright serpent, which evidently was as pleasant as anything else to look at, to become a slimy, slithering snake. And as soon as that happened, Adam and Eve saw the first visual consequence of their sin. And they're probably thinking, we're next. Boy, we are in trouble. Eve, get ready to slither. We've just about had it. Verse 15, you imagine the fear that was going through their minds? Verse 15, God says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. Now, apparently, and of course, Adam and Eve got along just fine with the serpent in the past, but not anymore. You know, for the most part, people and snakes do not get along. So what God has said has come to pass. But there's a spiritual lesson. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. This is talking about people and snakes, but it's also talking about people and the devil. Satan doesn't like people. That's always been true. And people come equipped with a disgust for and a fear of the devil. A person's soul has to become very hardened in sin to knowingly serve the devil. 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The final prophecy in this verse predicts the doom of the devil. Satan will cripple mankind with his evil influence. You shall bruise man's heel, God says to the devil. Satan will cripple mankind with his evil influence. But in the end, the seed of the woman, who is Jesus, will deliver a death blow, a fatal shot to the devil on the cross, and rescue man from the control of Satan and from the place where Satan wants him to go, which is hell. 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. God is the one who greatly multiplies our sorrows. He is the righteous judge. Job chapter 2, verse 10 says this, shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And we deserve every single one of them and more. And that's because, like Adam and Eve, we've all sinned. Again, verse 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow, you shall bring forth children. Pregnancy and the actual birthing process is tougher on the woman than it is on any female animal. There's absolutely no reason for that either. No medical reason, that is. There is a reason. It's the curse of sin. It's the word of God. The last part of verse 16. It says, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. You know, in the beginning, Adam and Eve had equal authority. But that all changes right here. Because Eve's desire was to talk her husband into sinning, her husband would now rule over her. 17. And to Adam he said, because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. God reminds Adam that the choice he had was this: listen to God or listen to his wife Eve. He made the wrong choice. And now he will pay. Look what God says. He says, because you have eaten of the tree, because you listened to your wife, and you ate of the tree I commanded you, saying you should not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it were you taken, for dust you are, and to dust shall you return. Adam should not have listened to his wife, no matter how much pressure she may have put on him. Wives, husbands, girls, boys, do not listen to those who try to get you to commit sin. If you do, guess who's going to pay for it? You will. You'll pay. And those who influenced you to sin won't be there to bail you out either. So Adam made a huge mistake, and it changed everything. God's original plan was for man to work and enjoy his work. Now, however, there would be failure in work. There would be frustration and pain in work. Anytime something goes wrong on the job, it's a result of sin. And there's nothing Adam can do about it either. The only way he will get his bread is by the sweat of his face, God says. Verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Eve means life giver. More evidence that man is supposed to be in charge of his throne or of his home and accountable to God for what goes on there too. He named his wife. She didn't name herself. He named her. He's in charge. Verse 21. To Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. God is gracious. The Bible says in wrath he remembers mercy. And that's what's happening right here. They tried covering the guilt of their sin with leaves. But God, by slaying two animals and covering them with the skins, was saying, you need more than leaves. By killing these two innocent animals, God was saying, to cover your sin, an innocent life must be sacrificed. Innocent blood must be offered in payment as punishment for your sin. That's the message. Or you will die and you will go to hell and pay for your sin forever. The wages of sin is death. Someone has to pay for your sin. It's either going to be you or a substitute, and that substitute is Jesus Christ. These two animals were types of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The blood of these animals covered Adam's sin. The blood of Jesus was shed to wash those sins away. Next time, verse 22.